practice, and then following the choir practice, the men's group will get together. It's been a while since we have sung. If you don't need to be in the choir to be a part of the men's group, but do hang around after choir practice and join us up here on the stage, and we'll practice a song for next Sunday. So a men's group practice after the choir practice. Tuesday, a fitly framed activity. The Wednesday Discovery Club and Youth Zone at 6:30, midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. Thursday evening, men's soul winning visitation at 6:45 p.m. Saturday, church-wide soul winning visitation at 9:45 a.m. And also on Saturday, the Valentine's Banquet, and that will get started at 6:30 p.m. You still have a chance to see any of the young people to purchase a ticket. They will have tickets on sale. And 100% of the proceeds goes towards supporting them in their summer camp. It pays a portion of their enrollment in the summer camp, so help them out if you can. Ladies and men's conferences, men's conference coming up toward the end of February. That's the one in Georgia. Please sign up if you are able to go. Also one coming up after that, and a ladies' conference as well. So if you have an interest, there are sign-up sheets on the bulletin board. Take your songbook, turn to page number 207. You may remain seated as we sing I Want to Be a Worker, 207.
I'm
You may be seated.
Says in Job chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. What that verse is basically saying is what we know. It doesn't take very long to realize life is full of trials, burdens that we carry. Some burdens come and go, some burdens come and stay. But the Bible also says that there's coming a day when the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that are alive and remain will meet them and be together with the Lord forever. I don't know when that day is going to be. I love to think about it. But one thing that encourages me when I'm carrying burdens is the word soon, because I believe it's coming soon. Amen.
Soon I may face dark storms. If I live long enough, but there's something ahead that keeps me.
The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:40 that all things be done decently and in order. That all things be done decently and in order. You know, we have a God that is a God of order. Without exception. Without exception, God is a God of order. For instance, how many of you know the phases of the moon? You know, right off the top of your head, you stand up and you can tell. There's different phases of the moon. Like for instance, if we had the full moon up top here, and it makes its circuit, and as it's moving, when it gets down to the bottom of the chart, it would be a new moon. You understand, a new moon is a no moon. It's kind of strange, but a new moon is a no moon. That's just how it is. It means it's completely gone and hidden itself, but it's called the new moon. Well, as it travels over and travels down, it's got the waning gibbous over here. That's like a little fingertip over here. And then it's got the last quarter of the half moon, about 3 o'clock out here, which would be almost a little bit more of a bigger thumbnail maybe looking there, you know, like that. And then it's got the waning crescent down over here at 4 o'clock, and as it comes around, and it passes the new moon, which is a no moon, it becomes a waxing crescent moon. It goes back up, first quarter, half moon, waning gibbous moon, and then again the full moon. Do you know that order has never changed? And you know who's in control of that? God. He's a God of order. And you know, that's a pretty big job, keeping the moon in its going. You know, the galaxy, they've been fighting to and fro trying to launch things for days. Oh, we got to scratch it. Wind's going north-south, should be going east-west. Winds, none of that order ever bothers God. We wake up, we go to bed, and guess what? The Big Dipper is always in the place that the Big Dipper has been in from the time God put it there. That's order. God of order. Wouldn't it be... It'd be a strange thing if I was a ship sailor, captain of a ship, and all my instruments went out, and I learned how to sail by the stars and how to navigate and how to go. And we're going to go, and we're going to set our sail according to whatever. I have no earthly idea which one they follow. So if we was ever on a boat, on a ship out in the ocean, don't let pastor guide you by no stars. Just put your foot down and say, Pastor, we'll be lost. We probably would be. But just for the sake of saying, we're going to get on to the North Star. And if we kept the North Star off of our right side, I don't even know what it is. What, Brother Denner, what is that, the bow? Brother, young Navy guys, what's the right side? Harvard side? Starboard side? Whatever those sides are. I keep the North Star to my right. If I'm thinking correct, I might be headed west. Correct? As long as I keep my nose going. Well, we go to sleep, we wake up, I set my sails, and we were headed west. Next day, the sun's come up, goes down, here comes the stars back out. Wait, how'd the North Star get over there? So I put it back over here, and we start heading. We'd be pretty confused, wouldn't we? But the sailors have learned that that star that they go by is going to be in the same place. That's representation of our good God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God of order. So, dear friend, listen. I must recognize that the God I serve is the God of order. And I must prioritize my life as such. As such. Because listen, dear friend, when it says, let all things be done decently in order, I really just honestly believe God meant all things. Amen. So we have to have some order about everything. And you know, many times, We have order about big, gigantic things, big, huge, humongous things. And sometimes we even make fun of folks that have, you know, they have these little yellow sticky notepads, and everything they do has got to be on a note, sticky note. Boy, they lay it out. And we, you know, we make fun of them in such a way that these are the sticky note people, you know, putting things in order and getting it there. But I think, dear friend, that we as God's people need to realize something. If we don't put our day in order from the very beginning, chaos takes place. So we got to learn to prioritize everything. Like, for instance, dear friend, if we do not plan and put in order a time of prayer, well, Jim, I'm just afraid we just won't pray. So we got to prioritize. It's got to be in an order. Well, what kind of order? Let's look at a couple of verses. I know your mind is somewhere else, but just stay with me. I'll move fast as the Lord possibly will allow me to move, but I can't move any faster than the Lord lets me move. Psalm 86 and verse 3. Psalm 86 and verse 3. Anyway, Brother Judd told me that stream it. Brother Judd said y'all can stream that on Yahoo for free right now. Why it's moving. It's free. If it's that important, but just multitask with me. You sit and listen to watch and listen and let the Holy Spirit have your heart, and I guarantee you'll find this more important. Psalm 86, 3. Look what it says. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I have come to figure out, Sister Barbara, that I need the Lord daily. I need Him daily. Because I'm telling you, things can just happen throughout the day that just runs and wrecks my life. Amen. Well, the only time if I don't order this in, if I don't place this order into my life, a time where I talk and pray and seek the Lord, look at the psalmist over in chapter 55. Chapter 55. If we have, listen, you think about it like this. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Well, what's the logic behind that? Because if I'm led along and I go my own way, I can sin without ceasing. So, putting that order of prayer into my life and having it there, dear friend, it kind of helps me out. Psalms 55, look at verse 17, what it says. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and I shall hear, and he shall hear my voice. We've got to order in some prayer into our life. It's got to be part of the order, part of the day. The Lord said, do all things decently and in order. And so prayer has to be in there. And it really does. You know, that we come apart, that we spend time in seeking God's face. Here's another one. Keeping the word of the Lord is very important. You know that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, you know the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone. What should man live by? By every word of God. You know, we're going to have to put it in order in our life to keep the word of God. It's got to be part of it. It's got to be what we want to do. Look over with me in Psalm 61. Flip over in Psalms number 61. So we've got to order in some prayer in our life, got to prioritize it, put it in there, give it its little spot, and we've got to guard it, we've got to protect it. And day by day, hour by hour, we need to make sure that we are willing to keep the Word of God as we learned it, we've hid it in our heart, and that we can do right by it. Look at Psalm 61:8. Look what the psalmist said. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Praise the Lord for that. But why? That I may daily perform my vows. Keeping the word of the Lord. That I may daily. Can I be honest with you? Just for a minute, Brother Wayne, there's been days that because of a simple choice that I made this day or that day or the day prior, that it has hindered me from keeping the word of the Lord. The Bible says here that I may daily perform my vow. That I may keep the word. It's a daily thing. Do you know God expects us to do right by His word daily? Not just on occasion, but daily. So this is taught, you know, in all things, do it, everything, all things, do it decently in order. So we need to, kind of as God's people, like I looked at the moon, I showed you a little example of that, and talked about some stars being in their place. Well, if these stars in the big picture of God's plan need to be in their place, and the moon does right, and that's the plan of God, how often does the moon come up? Is it like a daily thing? How often does the stars come up? It's like a daily thing. See, the Lord, He's interested in our daily life. Sometimes I think we only think the Lord's interested in on big days or high days or you know, days that, you know, really something great happened on that day. So that's the only day. No, the Lord's really interested in our daily life. And so we need to order and prioritize and set our life daily. But look with me over in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 34. This is what it says. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. Well, watch daily. Blessed is the man that heareth me. This is talking about wisdom. Seeking counsel. Blessed is the man. And he watches to seek daily. I mean, it's a daily thing. Do you understand, dear friend, vanity is vanity. And we are foolish. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's what the Bible says. Well, sometimes we men and ladies, we revert back to children. So daily we need to wait upon the Lord. Seek wisdom. Seek counsel. And hear what He has to say to us. We need to receive that. So we need to set order in our lives where we spend time in prayer, where we make it a choice, a daily choice, that we're going to keep the Word of God. We're going to make a covenant with ourselves. We rise up out of the bed, we spend some time in prayer, we seek the face of God, we praise Him for the God that He is, and we say, Lord, Today, I'm worried about today. I'm barring trouble for tomorrow. We don't need to make the picture no bigger than it is. We're not promised tomorrow. So we need to worry about today. Lord, today, I am going to keep Thy word. I'm going to be found faithful to the principles and precepts of Thy word today. So, Pastor, what happened if I messed up yesterday? You know what I'm going to do? Turn to the Lord. Lord, you know, in this area, I'm sorry. I didn't quite do right. Would you please forgive me? I'm giving that to you. And you know what the Lord's going to do? The Bible says He takes it because we are asking for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us. He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. He places it far as the east is from the west. And He leaves it there. And He says, okay, today, do right. Today, So tomorrow morning when we wake up, tomorrow we get up out of bed, we need to order our day. There needs to be some time that we spend some time in prayer. Dear friend, if you can pray evening and morning and noon, set aside part, and it don't have to be for hours, praise God to it. You need to do it. You need to find time. But, if you're getting up at like Sister Fran, got to be at work at 12:30 in the morning sometimes, Lord help. That'd be kind of tough to, I'm going to sit a time of 12, 15 minutes apart. I'm going to pray. Well, then she's got to be up at 11:30 p.m. to be at work at 8. But sometimes in Sister Fran's life, during the day, she needs to find a place where she can just sit down and be still and pray and talk to God. And it's just your time, yours and God's. Nobody else's, it's yours and God's. And then the same thing, when you're getting up, you make that covenant daily. I'm keeping the Lord's word today. I'm going to do right by the Lord's word. I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God daily. I'm going to do that daily. I'm going to sit, I'm going to wait. God, I've got this decision. I've got this thing in my life. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait at the gate of God. And I'm going to hear and I want counsel from God so that I can get that daily. Now, this is one here that the Bible says is kind of a little bit, we have to be very humble with this one. Look with me over in Romans chapter 15. We've got to keep in the back of our mind constantly, ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. Look over in Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse number 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now what does that say? Now, listen, that word, as you look at it, you dig into it, that word is a gentle reproof. It's gentle. And too often, we're not gentle in our reproof. But the Bible says there that we are also able to admonish one another. Gentle reproof. Counseling against the error way of fault, or counseling against, the traps that lay ahead. And gently admonish them and give them the instructions. Kind of like this, somebody's going to take a test. For instance, Benji just took the ASVAB test. All right, they gave him a pretest. He sat down, took the pretest. Then they said, okay, you're going to take the test on this day. Here's some sites, some information, some books. Go look into them. They gave him the instruction. But they didn't go by the book for him. They didn't walk his hand and say, hey, okay, here you go. You got to do it this way. They gave him the information, gave him the ability. It was now his responsibility to do right. Correct? That's how it works. So, let's read again verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. We got to understand something, dear friend. There is times that we should be a daily thing. When we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know that, I wouldn't want to see Brother Bernie Aaron in his way. Wouldn't want to see Brother Jim Aaron, and I hope they wouldn't want to see me. And they'd be able to come up beside me and gently admonish me, give me some instruction, give me some help in the trap that lies ahead and the fault that I might fall into ahead. But then after that, it's simply caution and direction. After that, back off and you got to pray. You got to say, Lord, I've done what you've asked. I've instructed, I've gently, I've shown, I've been there. Lord, they're in your hands. They're in your hands. We need to be there. We need to find it. Look in Acts 27:9 real quick. On this one here. Keep that thought in mind. Acts 27, verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. But when it was all said and done, what did the captain choose to do, Brother Jim? Set sail, didn't he? Paul didn't ring a rope around the pier and put a chain and a lock and say, no, you ain't going nowhere. Paul perceived, he saw danger, he instructed them, he admonished them gently. But when it was all said and done, the captain had to make the choice. Wasn't a good outcome either. He lost the ship, lost everything. Paul told him, if you don't hang on to the boards of this ship, you're going to die, buddy. And only those that listen. So it's not, listen, you may see the danger. You may see the trouble. You may see the outcome. But they still have to make the choice. They still have to walk that path. You are responsible for that gentle instruction. That simple long-suffering and forbearing and beseeching. Then you have to say, Lord, it's up to you now. I did what you've asked. Needs to be, sometimes, you know, folks around us, they're making choices. And if we don't open our mouth and say something, I don't say we gotta stop them. I don't say that we gotta grab a hold of them and pull them, you know, away from the situation. There's times we need to gently, but with this one, we have to remember, ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one as Paul. I said this a couple of weeks ago, dear friend. If you approach somebody with the wrong attitude and with open defilement of God's principles in your life that is just out there for everybody to see, because all of us have sins. All of us are sinners. But if there's an area in your life that you're lacking and you approach somebody to try to correct them or give them instruction in other areas, though they should receive it because truth is truth, I'm sorry to tell you, as humans, we stand bankrupt. We have no credibility to offer. We have none. Truth is truth. Listen, I'll tell you this 150,000 times. If a pastor falls tonight that stood on the Word of God and preached the Word of God, amen, his truth, the truth of the Word of God is still truth.
Amen.
Not because that man failed. The Word of God is truth. In other words, it stands on its own. And whether men or women or God's people falter and fall, it doesn't change the truths that they have taught. Amen. But unfortunately, I'm speaking on the human side. When we approach other believers or other people that we know or other Christians, and we approach them, but there's areas in us, they use it as an excuse to discount anything you say. It's just a fact of life. I wish it wasn't so. I wish we could just take the Word of God and say, listen, I've traveled that road, it's no good. And I know that I'm not praying right. I know that I'm not faithful. I know that I'm not doing things right. I wish I could just show them this and they would heed it. But we are open epistles. Read of men. And it's just part of it. It's no way around it. I think it's a good check and balance, though, to keep us doing right. Because I don't think nobody here wants to just stand back and watch somebody just fail and just ruin their life. We don't. We definitely do not. I tell you another area that should be daily. Something in our life that we need to order in there. And when we order it the way God sees it, it's searching the Scriptures daily. You know, the Bible says in Acts 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And here's the reason. That readiness of all, with all readiness of mind, they search the Scriptures daily. It needs to be a part of our life daily. That's what the Bible says, Acts 17:11. Those there at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica. There was a look at. There was a comparison, you might say. These in Berea were more noble than those in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And the reason they received the word with all readiness of mind, dear friend, was because they had a personal search of the Scriptures daily. You need, dear friend, to learn to ferret out the words of God, the truths and principles and precepts of the Word of God upon your own, because you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and He is the author of this book. Thank you for coming to listen to me, dear friend, but I'll tell you, there's so much more that you can learn on your own that would cause you to go closer and closer with our Lord if you just spend a little time in awe. I'm not talking about being a monk, hiding off in a cave somewhere. I'm just talking about giving God a little bit of time of prayer, a little bit of time of searching the Scriptures and these other things. Look here. Here's one. Here's a good one. This needs to be a daily thing in our life. Go over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 32 real quick. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 29. Exodus 32 and verse 29. Listen to what Moses said. Exodus 32, 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. This is what Moses said to them. Back there, he said, look, consecrate yourselves. Set your side apart for the work of the Lord, for the Lord to use you as a vessel. For today, so that He can bless you for today. He said, yeah, Pastor, that was that day, a long time ago. God understood exactly how our mind would work. I mean, He did. Because that's what I would say. Well, that was good. That was then. And man, I'm glad they consecrated themselves. But look with me over in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse number 31. Listen to what Paul said. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We need to die daily. That needs to be a part of it. No, you're not a cat of nine lives. We are humans that if we don't lay down this old flesh daily, it will rule and reign over us. It's got to be a part of our daily activity. I mean, daily we just consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I am your vessel. That consecration is something set apart for the use of the Lord. Lord, today, I've prayed with you. I've talked with you in prayer. I've waited on your counsel. Lord, I've kept your word. There was this, I could have chose to do wrong. I had that choice. But Lord, I chose to do right. Lord, I had a friend, you know, at work, and he wasn't doing right in this area. And I showed him a verse of Scripture. I said, listen, you need to think on this. I admonished him, Lord. I've done that. Lord, I read the Word of God today. I read in the New Testament, a little bit in the Old Testament, Lord. Lord, now that I've done all of that, Lord, here I am. Will you use me in some way, shape, form, or fashion today? Lord, help me to consecrate myself unto you. Why? Because, Lord, I want your blessings upon my life. I want your blessings. Some of us want to get down to the blessing part and without doing all the other part. And then this is the last thing, and we're done here in a minute. I got two more verses I want to share with you. Look with me over in Luke 9. Luke number 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke number 9, verse number 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this, and he said unto them all inclusive, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every other month, every other day. Let him take up his cross daily. Daily. Listen, dear friend, taking up that cross daily. You know what it is a sign of? It's a sign of daily complete surrender to the Lord. Just complete surrender. I'm taking up my cross daily, and I want to completely serve you. It's a point of service and surrender to the Lord. Now think about it with me for a moment. If God's a God of order, and everything He's done is decent, it's in order, it's always there. The opposite of order is chaos. So if you're living a daily battle, day-to-day life of chaos, perhaps it would be better for us to order our steps or allow the Lord to order our steps. Look over in Psalms 37. This is the last verse for tonight. Psalms 37. And verse number 23. Psalm 37 and verse number 23. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Listen, we let the Lord order our steps. I found out a long time ago his plan, his way, and his direction is far better than any schedule I could come up with my own life. So if we have a God of order, I think we as God's people should daily think about putting some things in there. This in this order, this in this order, this in this order. Well, Pastor, what do I do with all this other stuff that I must do? You fit it around God. You put God first and fit it in order around God. Listen, God understands you got a job, you got to work. He says, if any man don't work, neither should he. That's God's plan. Work. He knows this. But he requires first place. That's why he's a jealous God. So we put God in these light in our daily calendar in a sit order. And say, okay, I've got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And I tell you what, at the end of the day, dear friend, you'll feel much better. Why? Because his burden is easy. His yoke is light. That's how he works. All right. Father, we do love you. We thank you for this night. We pray, God, that you bless us as we close out this evening. I pray, Lord, you'd help those that are struggling with a chaotic lifestyle to look into your word. And Lord, find order for their life. Allow you to order their steps. In Jesus' name, amen.